Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, you know, it's so important to really talk about what, you know, God is saying at this one moment. And you know, the Lord's just really speaking to me about the light and the salt, which I've talked about in the first and the extra hour. But, you know, Pat, you know, talk to us, man.
Well, I was just reading the scriptures and songs on Song of Songs, and it reminded me of, remember that song, You Won't Relent by Misty Edwards?
Mm.
And, you know, just the anointing that's on that song, and it just melts your heart when you're singing it. Well, I just found the scripture, and I just was like, oh, wow. Wow, this is that.
Yeah.
And It's in chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. It says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. It's jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor rivers drown it. If man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. And it just melted my heart. I was like, wow, God, you love me that much. I mean, is that possible? You know, and it just made me want to, you just try to compare it to anything earthly as if you could, you know, what that kind of love was like. And obviously, you know, Jesus, you know, he displayed it, right, you know, on the cross for us.
That's the one thing that the enemy constantly attacks. People say, I just don't feel loved.
Yeah.
It's because Satan has put an all-out right attack against you to keep you from the revelation of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's huge.
Jealousy
is more demanding than the grave.
Yeah. I can't even wrap my brain around this. I mean, I read it over and over and over again. It's like, God, I don't even understand this. It's just like beyond me.
Oh, yeah.
You're just gonna it's just going to have to be, I just have to believe it by faith.
Right.
That you just love me this much.
Right.
Lord, help me love you this much as you love me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I'm not there, but I'm like, God, I want it. That's, you know, I've been praying this all week, really.
Yeah.
It's like, God, show me your love. Show me, give me a taste of it so I can actually understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Take the reins of my heart and direct it into the vast ocean of your love.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, I'm just, it just, it
you
just,
think
it
about
just messed me
demanding
up.
Demanding as a grave that, you know, when a believer dies in this life, the grave has no hold on him because of God's love.
Mm-mm. Mm.
It demands your soul.
Yeah.
The love of God demands your soul. And to be absent from your body is to be present with God. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, you know, this jealousy is demanding as a grave is that, no, I'm not going to let death have you because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. You know?
Yeah.
And so because of that, that the moment you pass from this life, the grave doesn't have a hold on you.
Mm-hmm.
One song said, way back when, it says, ain't no grave gonna hold me down. Ain't no grave gonna hold me down.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his love, we are raised to be with him.
That's right.
Wow.
Think about it. That's awesome, isn't it?
Very awesome.
The grave can. I think about, you know, I think about Pam. I think about Pam and her lovely walk, and she's gone to be with the Lord, but we talked about that together. And it's like God's love for her is so strong that it's more demanding than the grave. And so literally, the moment that she left this life, she was with God in heaven. You know, as we talk about 90 minutes in heaven and what it looks like, I mean, that's just beautiful because of the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the love of God. It's not religious. It's because of the love of God. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's totally beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Wow. You just got to ponder that and think about it.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard this. The Blaze is reporting that Glenn Beck was having an interview with Jim Rogers about farming. And I had no idea, but they're saying that farming now is basically becoming a lost art. They said nobody wants to farm anymore. And they were talking about the average age of farmers in America. You know, the average age of a farmer is only 58 years old. It's like, wait a minute, what is going on? 58. 50 is the average age, and in Japan it's 66. In Canada, it's as well really high, and in Australia it's 58. And somebody's got to work these fields. And what they don't understand is that although that there's such a lack of interest in farming, the farm values are going up, and it's still you know, obviously there's a lot of profit still involved in farming. People are making a lot of money, but there's no interest. And one of the things that Jim Rogers, this investor, was talking about, he was saying that these days, the students right now in college, they want to go out and get MBAs. And he's telling them, you need to get into study agriculture. You need to get in there and learn about this farming, because that's where the money's going
to
be at.
You need to get a FARM, not a MBA.
Exactly. Exactly. They said in the next 10 to 20 years, you're going to see it just absolutely explode. And I just think about some of the prophecies that we have heard about, roads being broken up, streets being digged up, be able to plant gardens.
Yeah, it was John Paul Jackson's word in Preparing for the Storm. The headlines, and this is how God spoke to him at that time. You can see it at vfntv.com. Scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see a banner called The Storm, and it has all the information that you need on this. It's very important. It's the coming storm.
Yeah.
And one of the headlines was, in the inner city, they're digging streets up to be able to plant gardens. And it's you always wonder what it was like, you know, up until the time when you're starting to see these things happen. And it's like, I see what it's like. Nobody's paying attention. Oh, my goodness. Because you could pay attention and turn, you know. You could pay attention like Nineveh did. And
what
listen.
Were the warning signs? What were the warning signs?
Yeah, and a warning is saying, hey, you know, don't go that way. You know, turn back to God.
Yeah.
And it's happening so rapidly. The encouraging thing is there's about to be a move of God.
Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether religion likes it or not, there is about to be a major move of God. They're talking about, and I don't mean to interrupt you right there, but they're saying that a major issue now with the millennials, that 84% of them are I think it's 84%. They have a thing called, not 84%, digital addiction is a new phenomenon that psychiatrists are actually diagnosing teens with and young adults with, where they're spending 60 hours a week engaged in some kind of media, and it's having this long-term effect, you know, where we're at. So imagine that shutting down like you're talking about, and all of a sudden, you know, 60 hours of their life is now, what do? That's the only life I knew was this virtual life.
And not wanting to learn anything. I mean, we talked about this right after the Super Bowl on VFN Radio about the commercial that was played with Paul Harvey about the farmer.
And, oh, yeah.
And this is amazing. All the hard work that's being done. And it's like, you know, no, I don't want to work a farm. I think I'd rather own a farm. But it was like the chances are they did statistics. I don't have the number how many people graduating now from college are even going to be able to find employment, much less an MBA, and the cost of college right now. And it's like, you know what? We need to learn some practical things like a garden, you know what I'm saying? How to feed ourselves. I know Pat had an adventure with building a garden. Not as easy, was it?
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, that I remember that history lesson.
Yeah, that was rough.
Well, you know,
I learned a lot, though.
Well, one of the things that Pat's wife, Tracy's grandfather, mm-hmm. God showed him very specifically what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And it's going to, it's going to get to the point. There's just, you got to understand, if everybody, and notice when on this cruise ship, for example, it was 44,000 plus people on mm-hmm. it. There was limited space, limited food, limited utilities. And so at some point, you know, their ability to get something to eat or whatever stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now imagine your city or your county or whatever. And how many deer do you see running down your street that you can eat? How many cows did you see, you know, in your county? Pretty much they're regional, where you have parts of America that raise the cattle,
mm-hmm.
that mm-hmm. milk the cows, that have these different, you know, they say that the food that you eat that's on your table, I think, was prepared within 300 miles. It came from around 300 miles or something of your home. Well, you're not going to be able to get to those 300 miles away during a time like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you run out. And that's what Mr. Barkley was shown was that he was teaching his family how to hunt and fish, but they ran out. It quickly ran out of anything to hunt for.
Wow.
And with the regulations coming on, I mean, you look where they're looking, trying to regulate how we can fish and what we would break the law if we were fishing. It's like, oh, this is amazing, you know, what's taking place. And I think about that tribute, that, you know, think about, you're talking about the farmer. Let's listen right now to Paul Harvey and what John's talking about. We'll be right back.
When he talked about something about, you know, there was a time that you didn't have a drill. Uh-huh. And you actually, you know, screw the thing in with your hand, you know, with the fill up. You twisted the screw with the nut.
Yeah, those were awful days.
Yeah, well, you did it with your hand and muscles. And I think about all the people that work so hard, man. They work so hard in our nation to build it the way they have. And
that's right.
And listen to that commercial. We're gonna play a commercial here for you. And we're going to apologize for the sound in advance because it's not the best quality of sound. But we really want you to listen to the words. This is Paul Harvey. I'm a little bit more familiar with Paul Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
And he kind of does this little talk about the farmer. And,
yeah.
And tell us about Paul. Who's Paul Harvey?
Yeah, he was a conservative radio host. He's been around for years and years and years. And he passed away, I think, back in 2009. But prior to that, I got introduced to him through my grandmother. She would listen to him on the radio all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he'd go through these long, like, stories, and they were really, you know, just intriguing. And
right.
Then his famous line was, "Now let's hear the rest of the story." So he just like this cliffhanger, you know, you talk about this person, you know, and
yeah.
all these things that they did or whatever. And then you find out who it actually was. You're just like blown away. Like, no, get out. Really? You know, so it was just, he's famous for that. You probably search him online. I'm sure you could probably listen to tons of his stories. But yeah, they were powerful.
Wow. Well, he has a great voice. And this is actually a Rams commercial, right?
Yeah.
That
a Dodge
play.
Ram car commercial, yeah.
Okay, truck commercial. I want you to listen up and listen to what he has to say about the American farmer. Listen up.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, "I need a caretaker." So God made a farmer. God said, "I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board." So God made a farmer. God said, "I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon and then pain in from tractor back, put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, "I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark." So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
Wow. How powerful is that?
Wow. That was amazing.
How powerful is that? We're going to make this available for you to watch on the torch. It's actually a commercial.
Yeah.
And the pictures are just so moving.
It is so amazing. And you think about without the farm and where things are coming from. How far away, if like we sit down and have a meal in our home, we don't realize it doesn't. The food doesn't really come from our particular community. Where does it come from? How far away?
It's estimated that it travels 1,500 miles to get from where it needs to get to from farm to plate, basically from
1,500 miles. Which means this is like the Lord showed Mr. Barkley that we're not going to have that food in our immediate area to be able to access it. And you hunt your land out so quick. I mean, this cruise, and this is a meteor's flying over. You got this huge things happening. You have 4,000 people that stuck without utilities, water, and all that. And how quickly this thing just kind of come to a grind. It just stops.
Mm-hmm.
And then disease begins to happen. And
yeah.
And they did say, by the way, as you were talking about, there were some people on there that got really angry about.
Oh, really? I can imagine.
Yeah. And they were really upset. And they said, you know, a typical American traveler. And so the reporter goes, what does that mean? You know, things like, my coffee's not hot.
Demanding stuff, huh?
Yeah, demanding stuff at times that are real difficult. I mean, that's what they said, unquote, you know, reportedly.
All right. I was thinking about, and I was reading this, now I want to look up the scripture here for a second, but I was reading about when there was a famine in the land, and the Israelites, and they had to go during Egypt, and they were going to get grain. Pat, you and I were talking about mm-hmm. this the other day. They were selling, so they go and they're trying to get grain from Egypt, and so they say, okay, sell us some grain, so they give them the money. And then they come back and they say, we're starving. Take our livestock and we'll give you livestock. You give us a grain. They're like, okay, we'll give you the grain. Give us a livestock, give you the grain. So they go back for a period of time. Then they come back again and says, we are still starving. We need grain. And the people come up with, just take our land, take all we have and make us servants. We'll be servants. Just give us food. And I said, like, okay, we'll take your land. We'll make you servants. And we'll feed you. And it's like, oh my goodness, there's a progression where even if you had the money, money's not going to, you know, if everything stops, it's not going to last forever. So then you begin to barter. Okay, give you a couple of this for a couple of some corn. But what happens when you can't barter? You know, we have to have a dependency upon the Lord. And we can't be prideful to say that we can't have a famine. I mean, look at all the drought that was occurring just this last summer alone.
Well, it looks like if somebody 1,500 miles away had a famine, and we never did, we wouldn't eat. Because if the food comes from 1,500 miles away, if all of a sudden, if the valleys in California or the fields in Nebraska or whatever were being hit, I mean, everybody's going to, the breadbasket's experiencing difficulty, the world's experiencing difficulty. Now, the scripture that comes to mind to me is that when God begins to explain to Solomon, this is how things work, son. This is how it works. Everything's good right now, but let me tell you how it works. He said, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, he says, listen, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, this is God talking. This is, nothing's happened yet. It's like, why are you talking discipline? Everything's good. He said, let me tell you how things work. Let me tell you how things work now. So you can prevent this from happening. He says, but when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, God going, go devour the land. He's like, where did these loci come from, right? Right. And send a plague amongst my people. I think about the influenza that came through the world and came through America. As mysteriously as it came, it left. And hundreds of thousands, I believe 40 million in the earth, I believe, that died from that one mysterious. And he says, if this happens, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And so these things that we're seeing now, if we turn now, it could stop this. Like Nineveh, stopped it. And so we can respond now before these things come to pass.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves. because we're listening and listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings, because they're like, I don't even need to work there. Mm. They're deceiving themselves. Mm-hmm. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. Mm. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. Hmm. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's turn, 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 and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. Mm-hmm. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free, just go and request it at iabide.org, iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance, your eternity. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
A manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Lord Jesus, asleep on the hill.
Just looking at the words of Jesus, you know, we're really trying to focus on the Gospels and the words of Jesus, and you know, getting back to the original intent of our Creator for us. And I'm looking at, you know, Matthew chapter 11. He's talking here about cities. He's talking about cities. Jesus says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. You think about it, that what's, you know, what some of the things we're talking about in the first hour, and also I believe first part of this extra hour is, you know, people are being presented the gospel, and they say, well, you know, I love this Jesus. Yes, I want to be saved. But nobody teaches them about repentance. Nobody teaches them the word of God, because repentance is leaving our life of sin, learning the new way of living and walking in it, the commands of Jesus. And so how can I repent if I don't even know, you know, how can I know that I'm speeding if you hadn't taught me that there's speed limit signs and put signs up?
Mm-hmm.
How can I know I'm sinning if you have not taught me the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know that I'm sinning, how can I tell you that I've repented? You know, so I really believe that the fullness. And so Jesus is talking here. He was not rebuking these cities because, you know, they didn't not talk about Jesus, and that miracles and ministry didn't happen there. It happened there. But he says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that have been performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon than for you on the day of judgment. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, which is Sodom and Gomorrah, it would have remained to this particular day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day than for you. And, wow. And so much today, everybody talks about, you know, that's like Sodom and Gomorrah. And God's going, listen, my expectations are higher for you than Sodom. Because if they would have had what you had today, with the blessing that you're living in today, and the provision and the miracles and all the things that have happened in your generation, they would not have served the devil.
That's right.
They would have served God. That's what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so here are these guys. They're not Sodom and Gomorrah. They're somebody who didn't respond to God and repent. Didn't repent. That was what it was. And it's like, bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. The axe is already laid at the root. And repentance means that we're going to have a life that has fruit in it. We're going to have a life that has fruit in it. And when you think about that, you start thinking about, well, then if we're being religious, but we're not repenting, and all this ministry is going on in the context of it, then we could say we're sort of like fruitless wonders.
Mm.
You know, fruitless wonders. And Jesus said in Matthew 21:43, he said, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. That's just like wrecks. Yeah. A lot of doctrine out there that's being taught. This is the word. This is why we're going back to the words of Jesus. We want to find out what's going on. And John says in Matthew 3:8, he says, listen, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Well, my goodness, if I haven't repented, then I'm not going to have the fruit of repentance. Mm. And he says, produce fruit. He says, listen, in verse 10 of that same chapter, he says, an axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So it wasn't the fact that you're not a tree. Yeah, you're a tree, but you got to, being a good tree means you actually produce.
That's right.
And so we can be, a lot of ministry, a lot of things can be happening. People can be getting healed and just, you know, religious things going on and not necessarily wrong things. I mean, but Jesus was obviously delivering the perfect gospel. I mean, he is the perfect gospel, but yet they responded to it in a religious way. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. AB Mobile Mechanics. Fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps. On-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm presently a student attending a community college, and I'm required to take a biology class for my degree. In the class, evolution is presented as the unifying theory of biology. And when test time comes, I'm going to be required to regurgitate this information back as if it's fact. Evolution can't be proven scientifically, and I'm wondering if I have any legal recourse such that I won't have to do that.
You're going to have to take the test. You don't get to opt out of the curriculum. This isn't a high school situation. They're allowed to teach a curriculum pursuant to their curriculum committees at the college. And you don't have to say, I believe that evolution is correct. If they were to come back and say, look, I'm requiring you to believe this, that would be a very different scenario and a very different question.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The Prince of Peace.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. In Romans 11, 17 through 23, we find out actually the verse 21. He lets us know, he says, don't be arrogant, because if he didn't spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. And he goes on to verse 22, the latter part, he says, you can be cut off.
Mm.
You can be cut off. And he says very specifically that there's something, if we truly are walking with God, if we are like Tyre or Sidon or Sidon, or if we're like Capernaum and we're hearing this right gospel to us, presented to us, we have a responsibility to repent, to hear what Jesus is saying to us and say, yes, I want to make him the Lord of my life, and make him the Lord of my life, and learn his ways and begin to follow in him. And the thing about this too, Jesus says very specifically in John 15, 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains or abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. See? This fruit is important. We could be fruitless wonders.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but apart from me, you're a fruitless wonder. But apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
So over and over again, we just hear it's being reiterated, and we discover that Jesus is expecting from us what we can't even do ourselves outside of a personal relationship with him. We have to be fruitful, but we can only be fruitful if we abide with him, if we remain in him. And we talk about that at iabide.org. That's why we talk about abiding, because you're not going to be able to do what we're talking about and what Jesus is talking about unless Jesus empowers you to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really confusing. Fruitless wonders can be really confusing. But this is, here's, I think, I was wrong. What was the
author? What was Jim Baker?
Jim Baker wrote the book, I Was Wrong, and he dealt with lots of fruitless wonders. They come in one after the other. They preached good messages. They prophesied,
sang good songs.
People were healed, and these gifts were working. And he would sit and have a dinner with them and eat with them, and they were totally bad fruit. And there were things that come out of their mouth. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know. And so he just thought, well, I guess it doesn't matter. And he began to measure them by their gifts instead of by their fruit.
Right.
And this is so, so very important, because, you know, the question is, fruit is not our gifts. We got to understand that. We got to understand that, that fruit is not our gifts. In Romans 11, 29, we find out that, that God's gifts and his calls are given without repentance, or they're irrevocable. But also we find out when Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, 14, that for many are called or invited, but few are chosen. So just because you got a call, just because you got a gift, don't mean you're chosen. It's actually when you make that choice to be able to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And when you see what's happening in the context of fruitless wonders, is it matters who they are when they're alone. It matters who they are because, you know, we've seen a lot of things where you have on the public scene where they're professing these different things, but behind the scenes, they're just beating the heck out of you with their with their things and their stuff. And it's just like, really? You know, and you think, what meanest thou this? And the truth is, it's like, you're known by your fruit. And Matthew 7, 15 through 23 lets us know, and Jesus says it in verse 19, he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit, every tree that does not bear good fruit, and that's every, by the way, every tree, will be cut down and thrown into the fire. You think about that. And so if we get this gift thing mixed up and call thing mixed up with fruit, you know, we'll be like the people that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, 21. He says, as he's beginning to talk, he says, not everyone. But think about that, Ralph, front to front. Not everyone. And you just want it. You just really want, you know what I'm saying? It's like, look how religious we are. I'm sure everyone knows Jesus here. We're all in the house of the Lord today, right? I mean, you want to say that, right? You just want to. But the truth is, Jesus said in the red letters, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not only do they actually hang around Jesus, but they even call him Lord, Lord, you know? And he says, only he who does the will of my Father. You see, fruit has to do with obedience that can only come out of the empowerment that you get from your actually truly knowing and hanging out with Jesus. We'll talk more about that. And he says, this is the only ones that's really going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says right here, he says, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, and many will say to me on that day, and he's talking about the day when it's all over, the choice is already been made, and they'll say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? And I'm like, you know, if I hear one more prophetic word by somebody that treats you like junk, you know, when it's over with, it's like, don't, it's important if they treated you like junk, but they gave a word, even if it was accurate, take the word for being accurate, but don't take their relationship with God.
That's right.
Of being accurate, because you know them by the fruit. He says,
separate the gift from the character.
Yeah, and it's amazing. It's like, no, no, sit back down. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons. What does that mean? People are demon possessed, and you come against this the satanic round, Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle against, and the authority in Jesus' name, and you tell the devil to go, and because there's power in Jesus' name, the devil goes.
Power in Jesus' name.
You keep. There's power in the name of Jesus, and then there, when you go and speak to the spiritual realm that Ephesians 6:12 talks about, and you bind them in the name of Jesus, and you drive the devil out. And in that context of that, he goes out. It's because there's power in the name of Jesus, and in that, the devil goes. And then he says, and performs many miracles. I mean, these are miracles where all of a sudden, you know, you prayed, they prayed for rain in the name of Jesus and rain came down, or they laid hands on the sick and the sick recovered, and these different things. He says, but then Jesus said, this is what Jesus is saying. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. See, you get to know Jesus when you abide with him. When you abide with, that's what we're always talking about. Iabide.org. We don't want you confused with the fact of thinking because you got a gift and you got a call that you're not going to be here at this encounter that Jesus is talking about right here, because you don't want to be preaching the kingdom to others that you yourself are not going to enter in. That's what they're saying. That's what he's saying. And then he says, away from me, you evildoer. See, these men and women became religious, but they didn't become relational. Either they never made Jesus the Lord of their life, or at some point they left their relationship with Jesus and just stayed religious. They identified themselves by what they do. We call that hoodoo.
Mm-hmm.
By their gift. It doesn't mean their gift was not accurate. It just means you're not what you do. You are who you are in, with Jesus in your abiding relationship with him. And understanding that they never abided or stopped abiding with God. Sort of like Saul and David. You know, David sought the Lord. Saul didn't. Mm-hmm. Both of them had the same prophetic word over them. But there was a day that God said, I regretted the day that I ever made Saul king. What did David do? He inquired of the Lord. So what is good fruit? I mean, what is good fruit? We're specifically told what good fruit is in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. I mean, that think about that. That alone, because God is love. Mm-hmm. If there's no love there, if there's no love there, there's no God there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's like, why do you bite me every time I'm around you? What's got a hold of you? It ain't God, because I ain't, you're feeling the love. You know what I'm talking about? You're feeling the love. And you think about all those religious folks that was around Jesus, God, Emmanuel, were being very religious around God, love himself. They're being religious around him, but they didn't know God. They even called God Satan. They called Jesus Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a possible paradigm that can happen. But he says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. But just think about love. You think about how important that is, because if we don't have love, we don't have God.
That's right.
You know, you don't, and it's like the love of the body, you know, the love of the church, love of many, excuse me, the love of many will grow cold in the last days because of great lawlessness is in the land. And so when we're thinking about love, that if and what they did, what you know, Jim Baker did, he saw these ministry take place, these gifts take place, and he sat with them around the table, and there was no love. There was no love. And sad to say, and that happens quite a bit in the body. It happens quite a bit where Paul says, I've warned you day and night that wolves are coming from come into your number, even come from among your number.
And, for 3 years, right?
Yeah, with tears. Never stopped warning. And gifts are just so mesmerizing. It's always been an issue in the church where people begin to worship gifts instead of worship God. But so love is so important that without it, our gifts are worthless and meaningless if we don't have love. And you think about love. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, actually, verse 31 of 12, he starts, but eagerly desire the greatest gifts.
Mm.
And then he says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some encounters like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kong. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, John, I mean, talking about moving mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. This just puts a fear of God in a lot of us, because it's easy to kick in to be religious, but when people are around you, it's raunchous. You know what I'm saying? And you can only be moving in love through the empowerment we're going to talk about of spending time with love himself. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. What is he saying? You can be as religious as you want to, but if you don't have love, it's totally meaningless. Even if people get saved by the kingdom message, it doesn't mean that person who's delivering it is going to enter in.
Mm.
Does it not?
That's right.
That's right.
And so love is produced, because remember he says produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Love is produced in our lives when we abide with love himself, Jesus. We're not going to be able, it's contagious. You spend time with love, Jesus. We abide with him, right? I mean, he says very specifically, and synonymous with love, it's obedience. It's obedience in love, loving obedience. Because he tells us in John 14, 15, Jesus plainly says, if you love me, if you really love me, right? Mm-hmm. If you love me, you will obey me. In verse 21, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them. Remember, if I've never seen a speed limit sign, if I'm part of the 82% that don't even read the Bible, if I don't even know what sin is, right? Mm-hmm. He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Mm. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you, you know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways will end up following some ways that are not his ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us at the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org.
Oh, holy night, and the stars are brightly shining.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
In sin and error
pine. Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. Obedience and love, synonymous. Verse 23 through 24. If anyone, there it goes again, everyone, anyone, all of them bubbies, right? Mm. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching.
Wow.
Think about how many fruitless wonders today that you bump into, and it's like, you're shutting me down when we're talking about the teachings of Jesus, but yet you're wanting to sing, you're wanting to prophesy. You're wanting, you know, you're not living your marriage the way God says to live a marriage, but yet you want to go teach people how to be married. Mm. You know, I was like, what, mm. what? And the thing is that we can go back and say, wait a minute, fruitless wonder.
That's right.
Fruitless wonder. And you know how to minister to them. Right. You say, you know, set your little prophet self down for a moment. I know you just cast the devil right. out, but we're going to get the
fruit
devil.
Fruit first.
We're going to get the devil off of you first. We should do anymore.
Fruit first.
Ministry second.
Right?
Remember that? Fruit first, yeah. Ministry second. I'm not your son. Okay, the who does not, this is what he says, let me do it again. If anyone loves me, he will obey, this is Jesus, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Mm. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. There's a lot of people right now that need to be taught. In the church, people who profess to be Christians, they need to be taught how to love God. Because, you know, many people said, yep, yeah, love God, give. You know, they talk about some good thing going on. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you help us build the wing on, that's loving God. We'll put a plaque up with your name on it. And these different things. And the truth is that it's actually obeying him. Hear and obey. Mm. Hear and obey. That's love for God. And he says, and this he goes on to say, these words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Listen, what I just told you and what Jesus told us, that's what God said. That's what God said. So you can listen to religious folk all day long, and there's lots of them. Jesus was talking to them when he was talking about what happened in Sidon and Capernaum and all. But it's the people who you just feel. I think about, you know, some other acquaintances and people that we have that is like, my goodness, you just want to be around them because they got love.
Yeah.
You just want to kind of like get up under their arm and hang around. You're like, well, I'm just hanging around love for a while. I'll be out there in a minute. I'm just going to hang out for a while. You just feel God in their life. You just feel that empowerment. And how to remain fruitful and to remain in God's love. He goes on to tell us in verse 15. He tells us very specifically in 19. He says, chapter 15, verse 19. He says, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus saying, so have I loved you. Now, it's about right this moment. Now, remain or abide in my love. If you obey my commands, because remember he said in Matthew 28, go make disciples of the nations, teach them to obey my commands. And he says right here, he says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Oh my goodness.
Mm.
Just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. Obedience is how we remain. We hear what he says, but we don't go, well, that was cool. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
We hear what he says, and we actually do what he says. It makes me think of the man who had the vision or the dream, and he's standing before the throne of God, and he's had this lifelong ministry, and he's talking, you know, I did this, 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 and God's just looking at him, and like looking through him and looking around him. And finally, the guy gets really uncomfortable, and he says, what, after he's cranked off all these lists of accomplishments. And he says, I'm just trying to see how much of my son I see in you.
Mm. Wow.
You see, it's about us decreasing and Jesus increasing. It's about us becoming Christ-like. It's not about Jesus becoming us-like. It's us becoming like him. And when you think about it, so what does love look like? Well, he goes on to tell us in verse 13 what it looks like. Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians in verse 4, he says, listen, love is patient, enduring hardship and delay and difficulty without complaining.
Mm.
This is why we say you got to abide. I cannot do that without having a personal relationship with God.
That's right.
And if I start lacking in that area, I got to spend more time with God.
Mm-hmm.
I get really bad to take a sabbatical because I got to get right in my heart with God. But love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. We got Christians that have businesses named envy.
You know, oh, Jesus.
It's just like, what? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Think about it. Like, remember how Chris and Pat were talking about
it? Kind of like that, kind of going back and forth.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And love never fails.
Mm.
It never fails. And you think about that, then it's like, I can't do that, God. I mean, I can do it for a little bit, but all of them at the same time. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And he says, you can't do it apart from abiding with me. You can't do it. I'll actually empower you to be patient. I'll empower you and give you grace to be kind when everything inside of you wouldn't be kind. But all of a sudden it's like, I don't know where that kindness came. Well, I do know where that kindness came from because it didn't come from me.
That's right.
You know, it'll help you not envy, empower you not to boast and not to be proud. And, you know, it's this hanging out with Jesus. He calls us to do something we can't do outside of a personal abiding relationship with him. What in all of this, yet we're powerless to love unless we abide with love himself. John 15, 6, this is what he says. Jesus says this, if anyone does not abide or remain in me, he is like a branch. Just like John the Baptist said, just like Jesus said earlier, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers.
Oh.
Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Just like Paul talked about in Romans chapter 11, branches being cut off. Fruitless branches. Fruitless wonders. John 15, 8 and 16, very specifically, talks about this. Says, listen, this is Jesus saying this. This is the red letters gospel. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit.
Much
much fruit. And we just found out it's not your prophecy. It's not miracles and signs and wonders. It's how you're treating folk. Mm-hmm. You know, what's in your heart when you're doing it? And he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciple. You see, that's our identification card. We got fruit. And that is our identification card. When we're bearing fruit, we're fruit. We're actually, these fruits of the Spirit are coming out of us towards other people. Somebody says, he's been with God. She's been with God. Mm-hmm. Because they can feel the fruit of the Spirit coming off of it. And then he goes on and says this. He says, listen, you didn't choose me. Jesus is saying this. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go. Bear fruit. I mean, there it is again. Mm. And fruit that lasts, which means there's some fruit that don't last. Fruit is what we do for or to others and adjoin with the motives in our heart of why we did it. Whether it's good or bad determines on why we did it and who we did it for. Good fruit is us being empowered through our abiding relationship with the Lord to obey his commands to us in regards to others because we love him and we love them. An example of a bad fruit is doing something for someone for personal gain, recognition, power, but not out of love for God and love for the others or out of obedience to God. So God empowers us. What did he tell us? He told us the axe is already laid at the root. Bear fruit in keeping with your repentance. What did he say to Sidon and Capernaum? He says, listen, Sodom would have repented a long time ago if what's done in you, what has been done in them. It's going to be worse for you on the end because you didn't repent. And it's not just repenting. It's not just saying a prayer. You're going to have to be fruitful. You can't be a fruitful wonder. And there's so many fruitful wonders. It gets really confusing. You got to pause and abide and say, okay, wait a minute. I know I see this being said, but I see this being done. God, help me with this. And you go, okay, I know how to minister to this person. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. It's a sign of the last days. Fruitless wonders. Matthew 21:43, and I'm just closing out right here just so you can just get this thing. You're going to bring a ton in here. But think about it. Jesus says this, and this is what I started with. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But on whom it falls will be crushed. Listen, if we give our lives to Jesus and his commands, it'll break us to pieces. It'll humble us. But remember this, it's in broken soil. It's in broken up soil. It's in the brokenness of the soil that the harvest comes, that the seed gets sown, that the water comes and the fruit comes. Fruitless wonders. You know them by their fruit, not by their wonders.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spas, and they ship nationwide. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs, cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.